We're holding on the second line of Zayin Amud Aleph. But now we've gone through, the Mishnah, we started out, the Mishnah had said there were two things that Nissan is Rosh Hashanah L'Malachim V'lo R'Golim. The Malachim, we talked about the first couple of blocks, about all the pros and cons when the years of Jewish and Goyish kings begin. Then we have the R'Golim, that Pesach is the beginning, is the first of the Shalosh R'Golim, which we said is relevant according to Reb Shimon, as far as Baal Ta'achar, and that got us into the whole discussion about Baal Ta'achar. What else is Nissan the Rosh Hashanah for? Tana Rabbana, we learn in a Braisa, so there's more things than just the two that I mentioned in the Mishnah. The Echad B'Nissim, Rosh Hashanah L'Chadoshim, Rosh Chodesh Nissim, the first of Nissim is the Rosh Chodesh, is the beginning of the year as far as the month, meaning the count of the month. V'Le'iburin, and as far as declaring an Iburyar, which the Gemara is going to think, well, we'll start the discussion when we get to it in the Gemara is going to, it sounds like it means that Nissim is when you can begin deciding a leap year, which is not so, so we'll discuss that. Ulatrumas shkolim, and also Rosh Chodesh Nisid is the Rosh Hashanah as far as the giving of shkolim, as far as taking from the shkolim to use for the operating expenses of the Beis Hamikdash, as we learned in Masechta Shkolim. V'yesh omrim achlas chiras batim, and some say also that Rosh Chodesh Nisid is the Rosh Hashanah as far as house rental.
What does that mean?
What that means, we'll talk about on Amud Beis.
You date shkolim?
No. The Shah you date according to King's reign, or nowadays according to... No, we'll talk about in the Gemara on Amud Beis what that means. So let's go through them one by one. L'chadoshim and all. And where do we know that Rosh Chodesh Nissan is the beginning of the count as far as month? Nichsiv, because the pasuk says, "Achodesh hazeh lachem Rosh Chodeshim." This month is for you the first of the month. Rishon hu lachem l'chodesh hashana. It's the first for you of the month of the year. Dabru akadasi sura lemer. Speak to all the Jewish people and tell them. But also l'chodesh hazeh on the 10th of this month. V'yicholam ish selavet aves selaboyis. Each of them should take a lamb for each father's house. A lamb for a household. You keep it around until the 14th, as we know they tied it to their bed. And you shecht it as the Korban Pesach. So we see that when the Torah is saying Hachodesh Hazeh Lachem, it's talking about Nissan. Because it's talking about it, you have to get your lambs for the Korban Pesach. Now, so that tells us it's Hachodesh Hazeh. But which Chodesh is it? Which month do they actually bring the Korban Pesach and that they went out of Mitzrayim? Uchtiv, a different pasuk says, Shomer es Chodesh Aviv, guard the month of Aviv, which from this pasuk actually is the source where we learn the concept that you have to have a leap year, so that to guarantee that Nissan, that Pesach is always in the time of Aviv. Aviv, the Rashi explains on the pasuk that Aviv kind of has two meanings. Number one, it means the early ripening grain, and number two, more generally, it means ripe grain. Either way, Ezel Chodesh Yesh Be'Aviv, which month do you have the Aviv, the ripening grain? Heveyim is a Nissan, V'Kodeh Le'Rishon, and it's called the first month. By putting these two psukim together from Chumash Shmos and Chumash Devarim, we get that even though the Torah never names the month, it always numbers them, but we know this HaChodesh HaZelachem, which is Rosh Chodashim, is Nissan, and that's when you bring the Korban Pesach. And because it has to be during the time when there's Aviv.
When we know that it's Rosh Chodashim.
Because the pasuk says it's the Rosh Chodashim, but in other words, we're putting together the information as follows. The Torah is telling us there's a certain month which is Rosh Chodashim, which is the head of the month. Which month is that? The Torah goes on to say this is the month when you bring the Korban Pesach. Which month do you bring the Korban Pesach in? A different pasuk tells us that is Chodesh HaAviv. So therefore, it has to be that is Nissan, that because that's when the Aviv is developing.
So which pasuk says Rosh Chodashim?
Right there, Chodesh HaZelachim Rosh Chodashim. In Shmoyz Yubay, it says on the side, in Parshas Bo. The Gemara asks why. The Eimer Iyar, why? Say that the month of Aviv is actually the month of Iyar. Not all of
Aviv. Yeah.
Aviv means newly ripened grain. There's newly ripened grain in the fields in Iyar as well. The answer is yeah, but in an Aviv, but you know, Aviv Veleka still, but you have to have that there's Aviv, that the grain is only newly ripened. That already took place in Nissan. And Rashi points out the word Aviv also implies one of the meanings of the word Aviv is early ripening grain. So let's say you have, fine, not all the grain starts ripening in Nissan, some of it starts ripening in here, but that's not the early ripening grain, that's the late ripening grain. So there you can't call that Aviv.
Aviv Veleka?
Maybe. Or Rashi actually says on the pasuk, it's Moloshon Ibei, which means growth. The Gemara asks, Ve'ema Adar, say that it means Adar. And again, I mean, the Gemara is not kind of like seriously entertaining that Pesach takes place in Adar or Nir. We know that it takes place in Nisan, but the Gemara is trying to find an actual source in a pasuk for it, an actual source that says so unequivocally. Yeah.
It's like what it was saying on Moshe.
Right. We always try to find the sources. Yeah. All right, the Gemara asks, "Ema Adar." Okay, let's say it's the month of Adar. Certainly, I mean, if there's any ripening, if there's any early ripening grain, it's ripening already in Adar. The answer is Reinod Roiva, Aviv Valecha. Yes, but you have to have that most of the grain is ripening. In Adar, you don't have. In Adar, you may have a few stalks are already ripening, but not the whole thing, not the month, most of it. I said, so what? Midi Roiva, Aviv Ksiv. So it isn't saying about the majority. Shomer as Chodesh Aviv. So yes, maybe it means the very first month when you can find Aviv in the field. That would be Adar. So maybe the Torah means that the first month is Adar. Ela Amar Rav Chisda Mechacha. So no, rather Rav Chisda says, I'll try from a different place. Pasuk says, also about the Yom Tovim, this about Yom Tov Sukkos. Ach b'chmisha asa yem l'chodesh ha-shvi, but on the 15th day of the 7th month, b'os b'chemes t'vor sa'ot, when you're gathering in the produce of the land, as we've talked about before, they used to, in those days, they would harvest the grain during the spring, during Nisan, Iyar, Sivan. After that, they would leave it to dry in the fields throughout the whole summer. In Eretz Yisrael, the Mediterranean climate, it never rains during the summer, or almost never. Then they start bringing it into the house in the fall. So b'aspechem, when you're gathering, it's towards the aret. Ezo chodesh yesh be'asifa, which month do you have the gathering? Heviyem is a Tishrei. That's Tishrei. V'kakorda le'shvi, and it's called the 7th month. We're counting backwards. If Tishrei is the 7th month, then Nisan is the first.
Even, well, that's in Eretz Yisrael. Still collect the still
harvest. I don't know if nowadays they do that anymore to dry it out in the fields. Maybe nowadays they have a different way of doing it, but in those times that's what they used to do. Yeah. So it's called the 7th month. Why? Say that it means cheshven. And again, we didn't yet prove definitively that the first month is Nisan. We still left that question open. So we're going back again. Maybe the first month really is Iyar, and then counting 7 months from Iyar brings us to cheshven. And you could say, again, the last of the gathering in takes place in Cheshvan. The answer is, but you have to have gathering in. By Cheshvan, it's already all been gathered in. Actually, there is an interesting historical sidelight on this. Actually, on Halachim.
In Cheshvan.
Maybe the last few people are bringing their in, but for the most part, it's been done already because Cheshvan already is already beginning the rainy season. The whole point is, you bring it in before it starts raining. Interesting, as a historical sidelight, the pasuk tells us in Sefer Melachim that Yeravam, after the ten Shvatim broke away and formed their own kingdom, and Yeravam set up the Egle Azav and so forth, he was trying to do everything he could to break the ten Shvatim away from allegiance to Yerushalayim and to the Beis Hamikdash, etc. One of the things the pasuk says is he did there is he changed the date of Sukkot. Instead of making it the 15th of Tishrei, he made it the 15th of Cheshvan. So Rashi says there on the pasuk, where did Yeravam get such an outrageous idea? Or how did he, not where did he get the idea? The idea is he wanted to do it in order to like he's creating his own religion, kind of. But how did he use it as an excuse to the people? He argued, similar to our Gemara over here. You're telling me that the month when the Asif takes place is Tishrei? It's not. It's Cheshvan. In Cheshvan, there's still Asif taking place. Of course he was Jewish. He was one of the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, he was one of the greatest Talmid Chachamim of that generation. Because unfortunately, even a person knows a lot of Torah, he can still become corrupt. This is why a person needs Torah Chassidus. But yeah.
That's a very big statement.
Yep.
Very, very big.
Yeah. When we get a few years from now, Bezos Hashem, to Perek Chelik, the last Perek of Sanhedrin, you'll have everything you ever possibly wanted to know about your Yeravam.
Do you think Chassidus needs to have some dimension?
I mean, a person can learn Hasidus like they learn a math textbook or something, Chas v'Shalom, you know, where they learn and it doesn't penetrate. But if a person allows it, then, you know.
But there's two things: the fact that the Ayurveda was so powerful.
There is that, yeah.
And now we have Hasidus.
That's true, yeah. Anyway, so that's just a side thing, just to point out this: that the Gemara is asking over here, maybe the 7th month is Cheshvan. Historically, there was an argument once made exactly along those lines by Yeravam. But the answer is no, because there really isn't any osif. There isn't really any gathering in from the fields taking place in Cheshvan. It's pretty much all done in Tishrei. We can ask the other way around. Maybe say the seventh month really means Elul, or my Shvi, Shvi L'Adar, and it's the seventh counting from Adar. Again, we didn't really establish yet, we left it open before, whether the first month really is Adar or Nisan or Iyar. So by the same token, we should be asking whether the seventh month might be Elul. And the answer is, but in a Reva, a similar answer to before, you need most of the gathering. And yes, some people are already starting to gather it in Elul time, but most people not. Most people wait till Tishrei. And again, the same question is, midi Reva, Asif, Ksiv. Does the Torah say anything about most of the Asif? It just says that that Sukkot has to take place in the month of the Asif, in the month of the gathering. So fine, as long as the gathering is already beginning in Elul, same way we argued a few lines earlier, that you could call Adar already the month of Aviv, because there's already starting to be Aviv. The same way, there's starting to be Asif in Elul.
Because you need the
robe. Right, and the Torah doesn't say anything about robe. Now, you know, we already, the question is, you know, we already used that argument before. Why do we need to go through this whole thing again? So one, some Mepharshim say that, in fact, yeah, I mean, these two sets of discussions that we had over here come, you know, this second one comes from Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda was not necessarily, you know, not necessarily did he have, you know, the previous discussion wasn't necessarily known to him. So he is going over the same arguments, and the Gemara is going back over them, but, yeah. Ela Amar Ravina. So Ravina says, you know what? You're right. You cannot learn this from, you cannot, this that we're asking, which month is which, that the first month is Nisan and the second month is Iyar and so forth, Dovrzeh Mitoras Moshe Rabbeinu Lelamanu. We're not able to explicitly learn it from anything in the five Chumashim, in the Torah of Moshe. We can learn it only from Divrei Kabbalah, meaning books of Nevi'im and Ksuvim. No, in other words, what is it? In other words, Tosfos says they had a Kabbalah. They had a Kabbalah of the order of the names of the months. They know for a fact. You know, we don't have to. The Gemara doesn't have to ask. How do we know that Nisan is the month before Iyar, which is the month before Sivan, etc.? That's a given. But that and of course, when we say Midivei Kabbalah, it also includes the fact that they had a Kabbalah of the order of the months. But if we want an actual proof from a pasuk, we're not going to find a proof from a pasuk in Torah. We need proofs from Nach. In the later times of Nach, that's what Ravina is telling us. And all the pasukim we're going to quote are from the latest books of Tanakh. Because only after the Jewish people came back from Babel did they actually start assigning names to the months, the same names that we use nowadays, Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, etc. The expression the Gemara has, the Yerushalmi brings, is Shmoy Sachadoshim Olu B'yodim B'Babel. The names of the months came up with them from Babel. And in fact, they can find, they found in
the river.
What about in Babel? Didn't they make it starting in Babel, for example, in the Megillah?
No, Shmoy Sachadoshim, no, because Babel, the Megillah, okay, so fine. Once the Megillah takes place after they started coming back from Babel territory. So, okay, whatever it is. But we're going to quote some sukkim from the Megillah. The fact is, I mean, they found in inscriptions and, you know, ancient Babylonian inscriptions and whatnot, they found names for the month, very similar to the ones, you know, we call the first month Nisan, they called it Nisanu. You know, we call the second one Iyar, they called it Ayaru, etc. So yeah, the names came from Babel. Why did we start using those names? There's an interesting idea, I believe, that Amban says, why B'chalal are we saying that you start counting, why did the Torah tell us to start counting the months from Nisan, from the month of Yetzias Mitzrayim, to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim? Up until that time, the year was considered to begin in Tishrei, because we'll have later on, the Gemara is going to have the machlokas whether the world was created in Nisan or in Tishrei. After comes Yetzias Mitzrayim, they started counting from Nisan to remember that, and therefore every time you mention a month, every time you say Chodesh HaRishon, Chodesh HaSheni, Chodesh HaShlishi, etc., it reminds me of Yetzias Mitzrayim. When the Yidden came back from Golus Babel, or even it didn't have to be when they came back from Golus, when the kingdom of Babel was overthrown, to answer your question, the kingdom of Babel was overthrown a few years before the story of Purim happened, then to remind ourselves of that nest, we started using the months. We started using the names of the months that they used in Babel.
So the second month, the third month.
And instead of calling them the first month, the second month. From then on, they started calling them Nisan, Iyar, etc. That's what we're saying. When it comes to numbering the months, we begin from Nisan. But what we're saying is, if you want to know, how do you know for sure, the Gemara is trying to establish, that the first month really is Nisan, and the second is Iyar, and so forth. Maybe really the first month is Adar, maybe Yetzias Mitzrayim was an Adar, and we should really be celebrating Pesach in Adar, and the second month is Nisan, and so on and so forth. That we need the Psukim from the later parts of Tanakh, from the later Tereyot, from Megillas Esther, and so forth, which mention, as the Pasuk says, there's a Pasuk in Zechariah, for example, V'yem Esh. And the 24th day of the 11th month, Hu Chodesh Shvat, which is the month of Shvat. We know when the month of Shvat is, so automatically, if we know that that's the 11th month, then it means counting backward, the first month is Nisan. There's a Nevuah then, there's a Nevuah of Zechariah dated that day.
Which is Shvat.
So it says both, in other words, right. So they started using the name Shvat, for example, because this way, the same way as whenever you say the 11th month, for example, when you're in Shvat and you say the 11th month, it reminds you, this is 11 months from when we celebrated that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. The same way, when we say the month of Shvat, it reminds us, Hashem did a good thing for us by taking us out of Golos Babel. That's the idea. So therefore, that's why they started using these names. An interesting sidelight, by the way, this Nevuah that's dated that day, the 24th of Shvat, is a Nevuah that Zechariah talks about that Hashem tells him. Hashem tells him an interesting thing. Hashem says, "I'm very angry." Hashem says, "Kinesi letzion v'lashlam kinev dola." I'm very jealous. I'm very zealous for that something should be done for Tzion and for Yerushalayim, that it should be rebuilt. The Ketzif Godol ani Kotzif, the Eibishter says, I'm very upset, I'm very angry at Alagoyim Ashananim, on the complacent Goyim. The Goyim were living peacefully. Ashani Asav Katsati Ma'at, the Eibishter says, I was angry at the Yidden only a little. The Hema Ozru L'ra, and they made things a lot worse than the Yidden than they were supposed to do. The Rebbe once talked about in a sicha in Memdalad Memhei, I don't remember what, it was one of those years, there was a sicha that there was a farbrengen on that date, Chof Dalad Shvat, and the Rebbe talked at great length about this pasuk, about this nevuah in Zechariah, that the Eibishter is saying, I'm very angry at the goyim who are sitting there complacently, they're not concerned about the fact that the Yidden are in Golus and there's no Beis Hamikdash. The Rebbe talked at great length in the sicha. Like, why should the Eibishter be? Why should they be concerned? It's not like one of the Shevah Mitzvahs Bnei Noach for them to be concerned about that. No. But we're talking. No, I mean we're talking whether the goyim who helped put us into Golos or even just the one who sat on the sidelines. The point is, the Navi is saying Hashem is very angry at them that they don't consider it a problem that there's no Beis Hamikdash and that the Yidden are in Golos. The Rebbe talked about it in the sicha. Why would we even think they should think there's a problem?
Yeah.
And he talks about and the Rebbe went on and to explain at great length that yes. The goyim have an issur of Avim and Achai, that they're not allowed to cause Tzar Baal Chaim. How much more so that yes, when there are Jews in pain from Golos, then yes, the goyim should be concerned about it. They should be. There shouldn't be shananim. They shouldn't be complacent about it. And that's what the Navi is saying. And then the Rebbe went on to say, after all, if the Navi is talking about complaining about the Goyim or complacent about it, how much more so that we shouldn't be, there's no Beis Mikdash, we can live with it, Chas V'Shalom, we should be storming all the time, and then that'll, you know, and then work on affecting the Goyim as well, that they shouldn't be complacent about it either, they should be trying to take steps to do something about it. It was a long and very, very interesting sitter. I just wanted to mention it since we're mentioning the dates, and
how can we approach
to going. So once, if they see how much it really bothers us that there's no that we're in Golos and that there's no Beis Hamikdash, then it means that's what the Rebbe is saying in the Sicha. It means that at least some of them, at least the more moral ones among them, will do what they can to not have us be in that state.
How much of that can we do by being here?
The point is that we shouldn't be complacent about it. We should never be saying, Mashiach's not here yet? Oh well, he'll come when he comes. That's being complacent. That's being shananim.
Let's look at it logically. So you cannot bring God. And even if they let us get out of Golos, so to speak.
In a sense, they could, because we talked about before whether the Beis Hamikdash is going to be built by Mashiach or come milamayla, but there is the idea, for example, that they can do what they can on their part to make it happen. The second Beis Hamikdash, for example, the second Beis Hamikdash was built by order of Kodesh, right? Kodesh gave permission for it to be built. Imagine if tomorrow there was a UN resolution that the Dome of the Rock should be torn down and the Jews should be free to rebuild their Beis Hamikdash whenever they want.
Go back and build
the we better hope they work. Okay. So that's one example where we see that a pasuk equates a number of a month with a name of a month. And so there we see that the 11th month is Shvat, so then automatically means the first month is Nisan. Rabba ba'ula amma mehacha. Here we have a different pasuk. Vatilokach Esther ala melech ha'chashveir shabbeis machos. So Esther was taken to the king's palace, to his royal palace, v'chodesh ha'asiri hu chodesh Tevis, in the 10th month, which is the month of Tevis. Same idea. In other words, if the 10th is Tevis, the first is Nisan. Rav Kahana amma mehacha. Ba'abola chodesh ha'chi b'kitzer. Rav Kahana says, I have a different pasuk, also from the Zechariah. Another one of his nevuos. On the fourth day of the 9th month, which is Kislev. That nevuah is the people came and asked him, now that the Beit HaMikdash has been built, should we still be fasting on the Dalet Tzemus, on some Gedalia and Atzeret B'Tevis and Shavuos B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av? And the answer was, in a nutshell, that no, we'll learn about it later in the Masechta what the answer was. We'll learn on Daf Yud Ches. Rav Acha by Yaakov Amar Me'acha, Rav Acha by Yaakov has yet another pasuk. By Yikoru Sofer HaMelech Ba'Isahi, this is also from Megillas Esther, the king's scribes were called on that day, B'Chodesh HaShlishi Hu Chodesh Sivan, in the third month, which is the month of Sivan. Nisaniya 7, yeah. Rav Ashi Amar Me'acha, Rav Ashi has yet another one. Hipil Pur Hu HaGoral Lifnei Haman, Miyom Liyom, they made a Pur, which is a Goral, in front of Haman, from one day to the next, from a Chodesh L'Chodesh, and from one month to the next, L'Chodesh Shneim Aser, to the 12th month, Hu Chodesh Adar, which is the month of Adar. So if Adar is the 12th, Nisan is the 1st. V'Boyisema, or one more possibility, Me'acha. From another pasuk from Megillah Esther, B'chodesh Harishon or Chodesh Nisan. When did this girdle take place? The pasuk says, in the first month, which is the month of Nisan. So there you have a clear proof. You don't need to start calculating from one month to the next. So, V'kulu my time alei Amri Mehai. So why didn't all the other Amorim use that pasuk? Why didn't they have to go find other pasukim from which we have to calculate backwards? The answer is, Dilma, my Rishon, Rishon Lemilsei. You could say, that's not, the pasuk doesn't necessarily mean that Nisan is the first month in the sense that it's the same as the first, as the one that the Torah says, Rishon Olachem Mechadesh Hashanah. Maybe all the pasuk means is, this is the first month of the events that follow. So what does it mean? In other words, as the Ritva says, I think, I think it's the Ritva, says Mela with the other ones. For example, when we say that later on they called the Sofer HaMelech in the third month, fine, you might say this happened in the first month. You're not later on going to keep on counting to that original event. You're just going to say B'chodesh Sivan, let's say. The fact that the Torah says B'chodesh HaShlishi, B'chodesh Sivan, tells us that we can equate them, but not necessarily. You might say B'chodesh HaShlishi, it's the first month when things started happening. The Rashash puts a different spin on it. He says that maybe you might say, what does the pasuk mean? B'chodesh Harishon or Chodesh Nisan? It doesn't mean the first of the month. It means the first month when Haman became prime minister. As soon as he became prime minister, he's right away scheming to destroy the Jewish people. Look what a Rasha he was. As opposed to all the other ones, B'chodesh HaShlishi, B'chodesh Shnei Maser, etc. It doesn't necessarily prove that point, and therefore, yes, from those you can definitively prove that the order of the month. Why, by the way, the Aruch HaNer asks, why does the Gemara bring these psukim in such a strange order? First it starts with going from Zechariah, then it jumps to Megillas Esther, then back to Zechariah, etc. He says basically it's going backwards during the month. We started with one from Zechariah, because Zechariah is a Navi, and a Nevi'im outranks Zurim. So therefore we start with a pasuk from the beginning of Zechariah, which happens to be talking in the month of Shvat. So therefore we work backwards from there. We have Shvat, then Tevis, then Kislev, then back to Sivan, then all the way back to Adar, having gone through a whole year. And then we finally do the one from Nisan, because that one's the weakest of all. Because that one is a weak proof, like the Gemara said.
The weak proof because...
Because not necessarily does it mean Nisan, the first month, doesn't necessarily mean the first out of the 12 months. Yeah.
The farthest away from Nisan, the stronger
yeah.
they are.
No, not really, no. No, not really. All the other ones are equally strong, is the point, each.
So long as they refer in numbers to
the... Okay, the question is, incidentally, Mephoshim asks the question, what exactly is the Nafka Minute for knowing all this? So we know that Nisan is the first month. We know Sivan is the third, for example. So why does the Braisa even have to mention it? So some Mephoshim say, again, I think the Rashba or the Ritva says this, that it's just Negeah as far as knowing when things happen. You want to know when a certain event, the Torah says, the Pasuk says that a certain event happened in the 6th month. You want to know when the 6th month is, you have to know to come from Nisan. There is a very famous thing, though, based on the Ramban that I was saying before about why we count the months from Nisan, that actually there's a famous idea that you're only supposed to count the months from Nisan. This is a famous discussion. There's a discussion among poskim, are we allowed to use the numbers of the Goyish months? You know how when you write on checks or whatever, you know, you would write today 5/15, for example. Are you really supposed to do that? Are you calling this month 5th month, and in the Torah it's not, it's the 2nd month. It's Chodesh Iyar.
Yeah, and
reimagine that time now, that is also not that I know of. No, it was talking about Shabbos. No. Yeah, but that doesn't say anything about Chodesh tradition over there. No.
Okay.
Anyway, so there are different opinions about it. There are opinions that indeed you should be careful about that, and not use the name and not use the numbers for the Goyish month. There's a different way of looking at it. Either that indeed that only applied during the time of the first, during up till the Churban, up to the Churban of the first Beis Hamikdash. The same way as now we use the names of the months, we call them Nisan instead of Chodesh Rishon. The same way we're allowed to use the name, the numbers of the Goyish month. Or another way of looking at it is that this Inyan only applies to counting lunar months. Yeah, you shouldn't count. You shouldn't count that Tishrei is the first, that Cheshvan is the second, for example. But the month of the Goyish year aren't lunar months. It doesn't matter. In practice, I mean, Kokhodimai Amadvar, in practice you do see a lot of, you know, a lot of people do use the numbers for the months and don't seem to have a problem with it. So, you know, there is certainly room to say that it's not such a problem. The Gemara asked for Tana Didan. Okay, so what about our Tana? Why did the Braitha mention this, that Nisan is the first of the month? Why didn't the Tana of our Mishnah mention it? He only mentioned the Malachim, the little brother. The answer is, B'shonim Kamayri, B'chadoshim Loi Kamayri. The Tana of our Mishnah is only talking about things that are a whole year. He's not talking about individual months. Yes, Nisan is the first of the month. But that's not the kind of thing he's talking about. He's talking about things where it's a Rosh Hashanah for something that lasts for an entire year. A king's year runs from Rosh Chodesh Nisan and lasts for an entire year. Regalim, we said, you have to have a whole year's worth of Regalim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Even though, I mean, Tosfos says, I mean, you could, theoretically, we talked about yesterday, you could have three Regalim without having a whole year, because you were marked the street right before Pesach, and you have Pesach, Shavuos, Sukkos, so you only have half a year, or you could have, we talked about yesterday, how there's a case where you can have a year without three Yom Tovim in it, you were marked the shit the day, you were marked the shit Vav Sivan 1 year, which was the day after Shavuos, and the next year Vav Sivan is Erev Shavuos, but still, it's not talking about Chadashim, at least, it's not talking about a month-related thing. These are fundamentally year-based things. As opposed to Chadashim, or just that, Chadashim. So therefore, the Braitha mentions them, the Mishnah didn't feel the need to. And the Mishnah continues, Leiburim, that the Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the Mishnah. The Braitha continued that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the Rosh Hashanah Leiburim for Ibur Yaren, for making an Ibur Yaren. The question is, what do you mean, Leiburim and Nisan Meninin? Do we count from Nisan? Nisan is not the time when you can start making an Ibur Yaren. On the contrary, Vahatanya, we learn in the Braitha, Ein Ma'abrin HaNashanah Lifnei Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to declare an Ibur Yaren before Rosh Hashanah. Beis Din is not allowed to declare an Ibur Yaren before Rosh Hashanah. The Imi Brua Einim Uberes, and if they did declare one, it's not a valid Ibur Yaren. Rosh Hashanah Miyad. If there's an emergency situation, then they can do it right after Rosh Hashanah. The emergency situation is, for example, Rashi gives two examples. One might be that they're afraid the Goyim are going to prevent the Beis Din from sinning. The other possibility is the Nasi has to go away on a trip. And the rule is the Ibur of a year is subject to the approval of the Nasi. So if they have to, if there's an emergency situation, they can declare the Ibur Yaren right after Rosh Hashanah, but not any earlier. Nevertheless, the only month you ever make as the Ibur Yaren is as the Ibur month is the month of Adar. You don't make a second one of any other month. Why is that? There's a few different reasons that Mefarshim give. One of them is, since we said before that the 12th month is Adar, if you made any other month in Ibur Yaren, then Adar wouldn't be the 12th month. It'd be the 13th month. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, by the way, there's a whole sugya in the first parak of Sanhedrin that talks about the dinim of Ibur Shana. It mentions over there one situation in the times of Rava where the situation was so bad the Romans were not allowing the Sanhedrin to sit to declare an Ibur Yaren. They wound up having to have their session to determine whether next year needs to be whether the year needs to be an Ibur Yaren. They wound up having to have the session in of the previous year, but as our Gemara is saying, they were only allowed to announce it to the public after Rosh Hashanah.
So they
had to start an Av, because I guess at that time the Romans didn't think that they're doing anything, so they wouldn't have been harassing them. Yeah, they ended up. Gemara mentions an interesting coded message that they had to send to Rava to tell them about the situation. It's a long message, but they mentioned that, for example, they couldn't explicitly say that they made an Ibur Yaren. Instead, they said that we set up a Netziv. Well, Netziv literally means like a governor, because it's sort of a perek in Malachim Aleph that describes the officials of Shlomo Melech's kingdom. It mentions there was one Netziv. There were 12 Netzivim for the different parts of the country, and then there was one Netziv Echad Hashem Aret, and then one extra Netziv. And one explanation is that extra Netziv was for the Ibur month, so therefore they use Netziv as kind of a code word for a month. Yeah. Anyway. Anyway, the point is, Okay. Anyway, Nachso the Ninenu. So the point is that you can't start from Nissan declaring an Ibruyo. We said you have to wait till Rosh Hashanah. So what do you mean that the beginning of Iburim is from Nissan? Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchok, my Iburim have Sokat Iburim. You're right. What does it mean that the Rosh Chodesh Nissan is the Rosh Hashanah Iburim? It actually means the deadline for making an Iburim. It's not. We learn in a Mishnah in Eidus, Hein Heidu, they gave Eidus. This is they, the same Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Papias, who yesterday we learned said Eidus about an animal that they had, the mother as the Shlomim on Pesach and the baby on Sukkot, 2 Yom Tovim later. They also said Eidus, Shema Abrin Hashanah Kol Adar, that you're allowed to make an Ibur, you're allowed to declare an Ibur Yor throughout the entire Adar. Shal Yoimim Adar Purim, because before that, the Chachamim were saying you're only allowed to do it to Purim. So the point is, if you're allowed to do it till the end of Adar, comes Rosh Chodesh Nissan, that's it. Time's over. This is my time to demand Adar Purim. What was Taka the reason why the Chachamim previously said you're only allowed to declare an Ibur Yor till Purim? The reason is, given to Amar, since Atana had said, Sholin V'Dershin B'Yochel HaPesach Chonel HaPesach Shloshim Yom, that you're supposed to start asking about and darshaning on the Halach of the Pesach 30 days before the Yom Tov, in order that everybody knows the dinim. What's going to happen if the Rav of the city is going to be starting to answer Pesach Shailas and to be darshaning on Hilchos Pesach, and you're going to be having classes from Yagdol Torah and whatever during the month, come Purim, all of a sudden, a week later, some shliach rides into town and says, actually, there's an Ibur Yor, based and decided that Pesach is going to be a month later, you don't know what you're talking about. Our Rav has already been darshaning on Hilchos Pesach, we know Pesach is around the corner. And therefore, they're going to wind up keeping Pesach in the wrong time and eating chametz in the wrong time. So that's why originally the din was that the deadline is put in. The idach. So what would Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Papias answer to that? That's a good point. The answer is maybe yadia deshata ma'abar to b'chushvan atal yamisa. People know that whether there's going to be an ibur yor depends on calculation. There's mathematical calculation involved to figure out whether the tekufa is going to come out any later than Tetzayin Nissan. But second of all, there's other considerations also. Again, the Gemara in Sanhedrin over there that has a whole sugya about this mentions that Rambam brings in Hilchos Chodesh. There's a whole bunch of factors that the Sanhedrin has to consider to see whether they have to make an Ibur Yor. Besides the actual length of the tekufa, they have to consider, for example, has a newborn animal been born on time? Are there going to be enough animals available for the Korban of Pesach? Are the roads in good condition for people to be able to travel to Yerushalayim, etc.? There's a whole bunch of different factors. So therefore, people know that it's a complicated thing. The Sabri, so they figure, okay, you know what? Why we didn't hear before that it was an Ibriyar? Chushbana, who delays Salak, the Rabbanan, the Rabbanan weren't able to finish up the calculations until now. When the Shliach comes into town and tells them this year is an Ibriyar, they're not going to say, nah, you don't know what you're talking about. They're going to say, yes, okay, it makes sense. The Rabbanan weren't able to get together and figure it out until now. So, okay, yes, hey, that's a month later. If they could, that's why we're saying, they could technically do it after Rosh Hashanah in an emergency situation. But usually, sometime within the month or two beforehand is when they would announce it. Because among the factors that they consider are, for example, is the barley actually ripe yet? Are the animals actually?
Just the
calculation is fine. They could make in advance if they had to. Right, but the other factors, for example, the weather factors and whatever, they're not going to know that far in advance. Yeah. On the contrary, some of the Poroshim discuss the question, how are they able to announce an Ibur Yor right after Rosh Hashanah? They don't know what the weather is going to be like later in the season, and they give different answers, but whatever, the ordinary situation is they would announce in Shvat or at the beginning of Adar.
They have to check the roads,
there's a bunch of things. They have to check the roads, they have to check how the animals are growing, they have to check how the barley is growing, etc. Yeah, whole bunch of things. So anyway, the point is, you're allowed to declare an Ibur Yor any time during Adar, but not when it comes to Chodesh Nissan, that's what the Braisa means. Actually, Mephoshim point out, technically speaking, we learned back in Pesachim that one of the three things that Chachamim criticized Chizkiyah for is that he declared an Ibur Yor on Lamed Adar. That year, Adar had 30 days. He used that time to declare an Ibur Yor, and the Chachamim of his time did not agree with that. So in that case, then the deadline is really Lamed Adar, not Aleph Nissan. Why is our Braisa saying Aleph Nissan? The reason is, Mephoshim say, because after all, as we see from that case, Chizkiyah, v'diyeved, it's okay. As opposed to if you declare an Ibur Yor when it's actually Aleph Nissan, even v'diyeved is no good. Because once Nissan has come, that's it. You can't turn Nissan into Adar. The Tana Didan, so what would our Tana answer? Why doesn't our Tana mention this is one of the things that Nissan is Rosh Hashanah for? Bas Chola Kamayri, because he's only talking about things that begin Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Bas Soka Lo Kamayri, he's not talking about things that end on a certain date. Here we're saying the deadline is Rosh Chodesh Nissan. That's not the kind of thing the Mishnah is talking about. Then the Brai said the Lachrumat Shkolim, that Rosh Chodesh Nissan is the Rosh Hashanah for the taking of Shkolim, that you take the Shkolim to use for the Korbanos. Menolon, how do we know that? Amar Rabbi Yoshi, Amar Kro, because the Pasuk says, we learned this back in Shkolim, Zois Olas Chodesh B'chod Shei L'chod Shei Hashanah, this is the Ola of each month in its month, according to the months of the year. So you have many, you have a couple of extra words over there, you have three words in a back-to-back that all come from the same Shodesh, Chodesh, which we see. It means, Amar Torah, the Torah is saying, Chadesh V'hove Korban Mitrumah Chadasha, make it new and bring the Korban from the new Truma. And when does that happen? So there has to be a certain point, in other words, from which you're starting to use new money for the korbanos. Now, when is that? V'gamri shana shana min nissan. We make a gzeir shover by the word shana from nissan. It says here l'chod she hashana. So d'chtiv rishon hulachem l'chod she hashana. And by nissan, it says before. We said we quoted the pasuk before. Rishon hulachem l'chod she hashana. So in other words, we parse the pasuk as saying as follows: Zois olas chodesh. This is the ola that you should be bringing. That you should be bringing new. V'chod she. In a certain month, which month? L'chod Shei Hashanah, the month which elsewhere is called Chod Shei Hashanah, which is Nissan. You might ask, V'ligmer Shana Shana mit Tishrei. Why don't we do a Gzeir Shava, the word Shana, from Tishrei? D'chtiv Mereshis Hashanah. The Pasuk says that the Einei Hashem Elokecha Ba, the eyes of Hashem, are always on Eretz Yisrael, Mereshis Hashanah ad Achris Shana. So they also called the Tishrei, the beginning of the year. The answer is, Donin Shana Sheyashim HaChadoshim, Shana Sheyashim HaChadoshim. We make Gzeir Shava of the word Shana that comes together with the word Chadashim, where it's similar to our pasuk over here, just like it says here, L'chod Shei Hashanah, so also it says by Nissan, Chadashim. Ve'in donin Shana Sheyashim HaChadoshim, Shana She'enim HaChadoshim. We're not going to compare it to a pasuk where it only says the word Shana, but it doesn't say Chadashim. It doesn't say, Mereshes Hashanah, Adachas Shana. It doesn't say anything about Chadashim in that month, in that pasuk. So therefore, there's less of a comparison. Yeah.
Because
our pasuk about Oilas Chodesh B'chodshe L'chodshe Hashanah mentions Chodoshim and it mentions Shana, and so does the one about Nissan. On this topic, Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Korbanos Tzibur HaBoyin Be'echad B'Nissan, the Korbanos Tzibur that start being brought on the first of Nissan, Mitzvah L'Havi Min HaChodesh, the ideal mitzvah is to bring them from the new money that we learned in Shkolim, that they collected the money throughout Chodesh Adar. That's why we read Parashat Shkolim on the Shabbos before on Rosh Chodesh Adar to remind everybody. So they would collect the Shkolim throughout Adar, and this way they have them ready for Rosh Chodesh Nissan. So you're supposed to start bringing the Korbanos on Rosh Chodesh Nissan from the new money. But if you brought it from the old money, you are Yotze. Ela shechisa mitzvah, but you're missing, you didn't do the mitzvah in the best possible way. What? We learned this in Shkolim, yeah, that if they didn't have the new money, hadn't come in time, right, then they use the old money for lack of anything better, right? So if you did from the old, then you were Yotze, you just didn't do the mitzvah in the best possible way. Tani Nami Hachi, we learn similarly in Braisa, Kobana Sibra, Boyan Bach, Menithin Mitzvah, Lahavimina Chadash, Vimhevi Mina Yashin Yatza, Shechitza Mitzvah, same thing. If you bring it from the old, you're Yotze, but you missed out the proper fulfillment of the Mitzvah. And the Braisa adds another important detail. The Yachid Sheis Nadev Mishaloi Ksherim, if an individual wants to donate Kobanas on his own to the Sibur, Ksherim, and their Kosher, Bilvad Sheyim Tseim the Sibur, as long as he hands them over fully to the Sibur. That's Pshita. Of course, I mean, all the korbanos are brought from the Machzor Shekel, which comes from all the individuals. Yeah. And anyway, if he gives it over, what's the problem? Yeah. The answer is, Ma'od Tamer, you might have thought, Leichos, Shemela, Yimtzerim, Yilatzibur, Yafa, Yafa. You might have thought, maybe he's not giving it to the Sibur wholeheartedly. Maybe he still has. We learned about this in Yoma in connection with the Big Day Kohen Gadol. Maybe you might think he's an individual, he's giving it, but he still has in the back of his mind, you know what, I still want to keep some ownership over this.
Then he's not safe.
And then they wouldn't be able to kamash malon. That's the chiddush that we're not worried about that. As long as he gives it to the sibur, we assume that everything's okay about it. Tosfos points out actually that there's a different gemara in Bava Metzia that actually discusses this point. It's actually a machlokas over there whether a yachid they're talking about the case. Well, they were talking about the case. We learned in Shkolim that one of the things they would pay out of the trumas halishka for is during the shmita year you have crops that are growing on their own, wheat and barley and whatever that are growing on their own, you need some of that available for the Omer and for the Shtei Alechem. If you just leave it for everybody, if you just leave it, people are going to pick it and take it. So they would hire watchmen to watch it and tell people, don't take this, please, we're reserving it for the Beis HaMikdash.
That was just around the Yerushalayim.
Yes. Now, they had, so the Mishnah had, we said there, the Mishnah and Shkolim had said, they used to pay these people out of the Trumas HaLishka, they used to pay them out of their Machta Shekel fund. And then we had, I think it was Rabbi Yehuda, said over there that no, a person can volunteer to watch on his own, and the Chachamim disagreed with him. So in Bava Metzia, at the very end of Bava Metzia, the Gemara has a sugya about that, about what's the point of the Machloikas. There is actually a Machloikas, whether the Rabbi Yehuda takes the view that if he's watching it on his own, fine, but he's obviously doing it for the Tzibur, so it's okay, it goes to the Tzibur. Whereas the Chachamim are concerned that maybe he won't wholeheartedly give it to the Tzibur. He still, like, again, keeps some proprietorship over it. So why over here are we taking it as a given? Why are we saying Pshita, when over there, in fact, we see that that's a matter of controversy? So Tosfos just says there's a difference, but they don't elaborate. Among the differences that Mepharshim say is one of them is very simple. There we're talking about Hefker. The person might, in the case of Hefker, where he didn't have it, it didn't belong to anybody originally, then maybe he's kind of taking it for himself and sort of half giving it to the Hekdish and half not. Over here, we're talking about something that he's actually taking out of his own personal possessions and giving. There's no question he's giving it completely. There's no reason to think otherwise he wouldn't bother giving it.
That's why
in this case we can just say Pshita, yeah. So, Kamash Milan, yeah. B'tanididan, so again, why doesn't our Tana mention this concept in our Mishnah, that Rosh Chodesh Nisan is the beginning of the year as far as the Shkalim? The answer is Kivin to Katanim, Hevi Yotze, because after all, the Braisa did say, if you brought it from the old money, then you are Yotze, therefore, like Psikale, so it's not an absolute thing. The other ones, the Malachim, the Regalim, are absolute things, at least according to their respective opinions. This, maybe yes, maybe not, if they end up using last year's money, because they didn't get this year's money, then, Then the Braisa said, "Yesh emirachlus schirus batim." That some say that Rosh Chodesh Nissan is also the Rosh Hashanah for rentals of houses. What does that mean? Konan abanan, hamaskir bayis lachaveru l'shana. If a person rents a house to somebody else for a year, he just said, "I'm renting this to you for a year." He didn't specify when the year begins and ends. Moina shnei masa chodesh miyom liyom. It means he's renting it for 12 months, day to day. Because that's what we're saying. It means Lushana means for a year. It means for a 12-month year. The same way as we said yesterday that when you sell a house in a bayis or a chayma to somebody, you have a year, 12 months, or 365 days from the time you sold it. Yeah. Same way over here. The im amal Lushana zu. But here's the key thing. This is where the bayis comes in. If you said I'm renting it to you for this year, afilu loy amad elav echad ba'adar, then even if he only entered the house on the first of Adar, kivin shigiyah yemechad benisan also Lushana, as soon as Rosh Chodesh Nisan comes, the year is up. That's what we're saying. This year, that's what we mean. When we say the beginning of the year for rentals of houses is Rosh Chodesh Nissan, we mean that if you said I'm renting the house to you for this year, then it ends. The year ends Rosh Chodesh Nissan, even if all we had was 30 days. What about even according to the opinion we had before and we'll have again later on in the next couple of blots, there is an opinion that even one day in a year can be considered a year. We talk about as far as king, the king because a person becomes king, Chavtes Adar, Rosh Chodesh Nissan is already his second year, etc. So why don't we say the same thing here? The person moves in Erev Rosh Chodesh, maybe already Rosh Chodesh Nissan is the end of the year. The answer is shiny hacha. It's different over here. Like Torach Inish, Lamega Beisa, Labatim, it's Lassan Yemen. Nobody bothers to rent a house for less than 30 days. So it's a given. If he rented it any later than Rosh Chodesh Adar, then no, you can't say he rented it only for the rest of the month, only until the end of Adar. No, you have to. So what actually happens? Then Mepharshim argue whether in that case it means you go back to the previous thing and you give him 12 months day to day. So he moved in Yud Adar, then he has till Yud Adar the next year. Or do you just say he has a year beginning from Rosh Chodesh Nissan? Later. Different opinions. Tosfos points out, you could just say you look at the actual amount he paid for rent. Obviously, we're talking about, for example, let's say the person moved in Rosh Chodesh Adar. Did he pay a month's rent or did he pay a year's rent? If he paid a year's rent, why would you assume that it was only for a month's rental? And Tosfos says you can't say that necessarily. In various other places, in Shas, the Gemara talks about this concept. If you have more money was given for something than is expected, can we assume that means that more is included, or does it mean maybe not? Maybe it means he gave him a present or whatever. He's paying him off for something that for money that he owed him from beforehand or whatever. Other Mepharshim point out. In fact, we don't necessarily have to be talking about when he's paying the rental in advance. It could be that it could be that they made the contract and he's going to pay the rental. He's going to pay the rental fee at the end. So the Gemara asks, the aim of Tishrei, why don't we say that the year for Sechiras Batim runs from Tishrei to Tishrei? The answer is stam. We assume, as a general thing, ki ogur inish beis, when a person rents a house, lekula yimaisak shalom ogur, he wants to rent it for the entire rainy season. So we assume if a person is renting a house at Elul time, he plans to stay there the whole winter. He's not going to leave. He's going to leave right away before Tishrei and have to find someplace during the fall. Yeah.
When is the rainy season?
So that's the thing. We're assuming the rainy season finishes about the end of Adar. However, the Tanakama de Braisa, the Tana Didan, what would the Tanakama of the Braisa who argues with this Yeshayim and the Tana of Amish, who didn't even mention this concept at all, what would they answer to that? They would say not necessarily. But Nisanami Mishach Shriach Kitri. In Nisan also sometimes you have those clouds and rain. It's not necessarily a given. Comes of Chodesh Nisan, immediately the rainy season is over. Sometimes it rains in Nisan too. So you can't say as a definitive thing that a person rents a house and they definitely intend to vacate it by Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Let's see what we're talking about in our teaching. So what does it mean? Actually, the Rish has a tshuva where he says that according to the Tana of our Mishnah, in fact, the time for rentals of houses would run from Tishrei to Tishrei. Not like the Braisa is saying over here from Nisan to Nisan. Because in any case, Nisan is not necessarily the end of the rainy season anyway. Then the Mishnah said, "Be'echa be'elul Rosh Hashanah l'ma'ase behema." The first of Elul is Rosh Hashanah for ma'ase behema. Mani Reb Meir. Now, who is that like? That's like Reb Meir. The Tanya or the Tanan, actually, it's Mishnah in Chodes. Reb Meir Omer be'echa be'elul Rosh Hashanah l'ma'ase behema. We have in our Mishnah there's machloekas on it. The Tanakama of our Mishnah just says Bistam, and we don't know who the Tanakama is, but now we said it's Reb Meir says that be'echa be'elul. Then Reb Eliezer and Reb Shimon come in and say it's for the first of Tishrei. But then, when the Mishnah continues, v'lo degalim mani, when the Mishnah had said earlier that Rosh Chodesh Nissan is Rosh Hashanah l'malachim v'lo degalim mani Reb Shimon, that was according to Reb Shimon, because we said before only according to Reb Shimon is there a concept of Rosh Hashanah l'malachim v'lo degalim. According to the Meir, one yomtiv already over on Baal Ta'achar. You don't need a Rosh Hashanah l'malachim v'lo degalim. Ema sefer, but then according to Rabbi Shimon, but you need three in order, beginning from Pesach. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Only according to Rabbi Shimon, do you need a beginning of the Rogalim according to the other Tanaim? It's not relevant. Ema Sefer, but then look afterwards. We have Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, and Bachar B'Tishrei. We have the Tanakama here, unspecified, says that the Rosh Hashanah L'maaseh Behemah is the first of Elul. Then Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon are saying the first of Tishrei. So what is it? Reish of a Sefer, Rabbi Shimon, and Yasser of Meir. What are we going back and forth for? First we have a Stam Mishnah according to Rabbi Shimon. Then we have a Stam Mishnah according to Rabbi Meir. And then we're bringing in Rabbi Shimon's opinion. What kind of a Mishnah is that? Our Mishnah is according to Rebbe, and Rebbe picked and chose according to different Tanayim. It's not just that he's bringing the different opinions, it's that Virgolim Savalak Reb Shimon, when it comes to the Yom Tovim, Rebbe holds like Reb Shimon, that there is, you have three Yom Tovim in order, so therefore he chose to put what Reb Shimon is saying as the Stam Mishnah, to imply that that's the Halacha. Over Ma'ase Behemah, Savalak Reb Meir, and when it comes to Ma'ase Behemah, he holds like Reb Meir, that it's Rosh Chodesh Elul. And therefore, we put that as the Stam Mishnah. But then he also wants to point out that, you know what, Reb Shimon and Reb Elazar don't agree with that.
What's his reason?
He's entitled. He's entitled to pick and choose.
But he doesn't have a reason.
He doesn't have to. Question is, you're going to ask the Hachi Abbar, Hamisha Havu. So what do you mean there's four Rosh Chodashim? There's five according to that. There's Aleph Nissen, the Tetzvav Nissen, because when we say Rosh Hashanah L'Regal, it really means Tetzvav Nissen, Pesach. Aleph Elul, Aleph Tishrei, because Aleph Elul for Ma'aseh Behemah, Aleph Tishrei for all the other things, L'shonim, L'shmitim, etc., and Aleph, or Tetzvav B'Shvat, for Ilanos. So you have five. Amar Rava, Arba'al L'divrei Hakol. What it means is everybody agrees, whichever way you look at it, not according to Rebbe, but according to each of the other Tanoim, there are four. L'Rav Meir, Arba'al, Dal, Regalim, because according to Rav Meir, there are four because you take out Regalim. According to Rav Meir, again, there is no Rosh Hashanah L'Regalim, the whole concept isn't relevant. So according to him, the four Rosh Hashanim are Rosh Chodesh Nissan for Malachim only, Rosh Chodesh Elul for Ma'aseh Behemah, Rosh Chodesh Tishrei for Shanim, Shvitim, etc., and Tetzvav B'Shvat for Ilanos. So there's four. The Reb Shimon, Arba, Dal Ma'aseh Behemah. And according to Reb Shimon, there's also four because take out Ma'aseh Behemah. According to Reb Shimon, you have Aleph Nissan for Malachim, Tetzvav Nissan for Regalim. No Rosh Chodesh Elul, that's nothing for him. Rosh Chodesh Tishrei for Ma'aseh Behemah and Shanim, Shvitim, Yovelus, and Tzia Yerachos. And Tetzvav B'Shvat for Ilanos. So either way, according to each of the Tanoim in the Mishnah, you end up with four. Rav Nachman Yitzchok has a different answer. Arba Chadashim, over hand, Kama Rosh Hashanim. There are four Chadashim, which contain among them many Rosh Hashanah. So Nissan, for example, so Nissan contains, according to the mayor of Nissan only contains one Rosh Hashanah, L'Malachim. According to Reb Shimon, it includes two different Rosh Hashanim, Aleph Nissan for Malachim, Tesvav Nissan for Regalim, but they're all in the same month. When we say Bar Rosh Hashanim Haim, we mean there are 4 months that contain Rosh Hashanim. So then you'd have Nissan, Elul, Tishrei, and Shemai are the four. I have a contradiction to this whole concept. There's a brisa that adds two others.
Everyone holds on four.
No, the first answer was everyone holds on four. Rav Nachum Yitzchok's answer is that we're only looking at the number of months that contain Rosh Hashanah.
Except for me, anyone else.
That's we said two different answers. We said two different answers. Rav and Rav Nachum Yitzchok. Meisr, the Gemara says, have a contradiction. A brisa says, Shisha of Nissan Rosh Hashanah la'omer, the 16th of Nissan is the Rosh Hashanah for the Omer, meaning that before that you're not even allowed. Before that you're not allowed to eat chadash, as we learned in Sukkah, and as we'll learn later in this Masechta. And Shisha b'Sivan Rosh Hashanah l'Shtei Alechem, and the 6th of Sivan is Rosh Hashanah for Shtei Alechem. Until they bring the Shtei Alechem, you're not allowed to use any of that year's new grain for korbanos. You're allowed to eat it, but you're not allowed to use it for korbanos. So we have two more Rosh Hashanahs. So the Rava Lifni Shisha. So according to Rava, our Mishnah should say six, because you have, fine, Rav Meir and Rav Shimon each hold four, they have a different list of four. But then you have to add these two, 16th of Nissan and 6th of Sivan. Yeah. And the Rav Nachman Yitzchok Lifni Chamisha. And according to Rav Nachman Yitzchok, fine, he'll say you don't have to add an extra one from Nissan, because you already had Nissan, you're already counting Aleph and Tezvav Nissan as one, because they're all in 1 month. So you can't say you include Tezayin Nissan in that also, fine. But you still have to have another one for Sivan. You should have Nissan, Sivan, Elul, Tishrei, and Shvat, 5 months. The Mishnah is only listing things where the Rosh Hashanah begins in the evening. But something where it doesn't take effect until the next morning, then not. In the case of the Omer, when are you allowed to eat Chadash? When there's a Beis Hamikdash? When the Korban Omer is brought? Korbanos can only be brought by day. When are you allowed to start using the new grain for Menachos? When they bring the Shtei Alechem. When do they bring the Shtei Alechem? Shavuos day. Again, you can't bring Korbanos at night. So therefore, as opposed to all the other things we're mentioning in our Mishnah, the Malachim, the Regalim, etc., all start in the evening already. The Malachim, if you write a Shtar, the night of Rosh Chodesh Nissan, you're already writing the new year of the king, etc. You might ask why, but Regalim like Chaylim or Urtav Kachashim. The Regalim don't what we talk about as far as Regalim, as far as Baal Ta'achar, doesn't take effect the evening before. And yet it lists it. Why? Because again, what is Baal Ta'achar? If you didn't bring your carbon by a certain time, then you've been around Baal Ta'achar, but again, you can only bring korbanos by day. You can only bring them after the Tzomet Shel Shachar, so you have the same kind of thing. The answer is, kivin shetzorech li, suri me'ikra mechayev. Yes, but you were already obligated to bring it from before. Meaning, so Rashi says what it means is like this. We're talking about when you around Baal Ta'achar, when 3 Yom Tovim, or 2, or 1, or whatever, have passed. You were supposed to bring it already before Yom Tov. It's not like you were only able to bring it on Yom Tov. You could have brought it before Yom Tov. You chose not to bring it on Yom Tov, and you waited the whole Yom Tov. You were over on Baal Ta'achar, but you were already obligated in it from when Yom Tov began. Yes, you can't bring it at night as a practical matter because you can't bring korbanos at night, but you already have the obligation. So therefore, yes, we can. So yes, therefore we can count it. No, whatever. The point is that the chiyuv already existed. There's a different explanation. I mentioned yesterday or 2 days ago that Tosfos Yeshanim holds that when do we say that a Yom Tov counts for Baal Ta'achar is when the beginning of Yom Tov starts. Meaning, our Gemara is saying that begins from the evening. Just like we said, if you're Makdash Korban in the middle of Pesach, for example, then Pesach itself doesn't count as your first Yom Tov. You have half of Pesach, then you have Shavuos, then you have Sukkot, and when that time comes, well, according to Tosfos Yeshanim, when Pesach, the next year, begins, and you've not brought the korban, then you're over on Baal Ta'achar. Now, so according to Tosfos Yeshanim, the same thing applies if you makdish the korban any time after the night of Pesach. The night is already when the chiyuv begins. So if you were makdish it even the night of Pesach, same thing applies. That Pesach does not count as your whole first Yom Tov until the following year. So that's what we mean. It's chayol me'urta that it already takes effect from the night, because from the night is when the night has to be after the korban was already designated, or after you already promised to bring the korban, in order for it to count towards Baal Ta'achar.
But if you didn't bring, you brought it in the morning, it still counts from the night?
No. What we're saying is, in other words, if you were makdash a korban in the night of Pesach, according to Tosfos Yeshanim,
right,
and then you did not bring it during that Yom Tov, We don't say that one whole Yom Tov has passed. We say zero have passed so far. Until Shavuos. Shavuos comes and goes, and you haven't brought it yet. One Yom Tov has passed. Sukkot comes and goes, too. Once the first night of Pesach comes the following year, and you haven't brought it yet, Baal Ta'achar. But that's what we're saying. In other words, as opposed to if you had been Maksashit on Erev Pesach, then Pesach already would be your first Yom Tov. So the count starts from the night. That's
the
what we're
offering
saying.
Of the Korban is
by day, yeah. Urta means a night. Mepharshim asked, what about some of the other things that we talked about that Baal Ta'achar applies for, like tzedakah and like a shikol pay or whatever? Those don't have those don't specifically have to be done by night. And the answer is that since they're combined together with the korbanos, then yeah, we apply the same rules to all of them. The Gemara asked about yovelos l'chayim meyorta. What about yovel? Doesn't take effect the night before. The Gemara's assumption, which the Gemara is going to revisit later on, on Daf Tes, Yod, is that the official observances of Yovel begin when Beis Din blows the shofar. And when do they blow the shofar? Yom Kippur day. So then it doesn't start the evening before, and yet the Mishnah lists the Rosh Hashanah L'Shanim L'Shmitim L'Yovelos. The answer is, Rabbi Shmuel, B'nai Shur Rabbi Yechon Mebreika, he do'am Rosh Hashanah Chayo Yovel. Our Mishnah goes according to Rabbi Shmuel, B'nai Shur Rabbi Yechon Mebreika, who says that the Yovel actually takes effect beginning Rosh Hashanah. He says that actually, meaning in other words, he says, it does not depend on the Tchiyas. The Tchiyas takes place only on Yom Kippur, but he holds the Kedusha of Yovel already begins Rosh Hashanah. And he talks about, we'll have later on what that means as far as the Avodim and the fields are kind of in limbo for those 10 days, but whatever. Yeah.
Most other opinions say
that's from the Tchiyas, yeah. And our Mishnah would be according to that. Rav Shisha Breder of Idi. Rav Shisha Breder of Idi gives a different answer why our Mishnah did not mention the 16th of Nisan and the 6th of Sivan. Kika Choshev Mididai Tali B'maisa. Our Mishnah is only listing things that don't depend on somebody doing something. As soon as the day comes, the thing automatically begins. As soon as the Shchodesh Nisan comes, it's automatically the King's New Year. As soon as Pesach comes, automatically the Baal Ta'achar countdown clock starts, etc. As opposed to midis tolev maisa, like a choshev, something that depends on maisa, we're not counting. The Rosh Hashanah of the Omer, you have to bring the Omer. If they didn't bring the Omer, then you can't eat chadosh. Nowadays, when there's no Omer, as we learned in Sukkah, you can't eat chadosh for the entire day. What do you call it? Similarly with the shtei alechem. Only if they bring the shtei alechem can you start bringing the menachos min chadosh. If not, then not. So therefore, it's not listing those. Again, the Gemara tries, but regalim there is some ma'aseh involved, because again, they have to have brought the Tamid Shal Shachar before you're able to bring your korban. So then there's a ma'aseh involved. Before they bring the Tamid Shal Shachar, we assume the deadline hasn't been reached. And again, the answer is Baal Ta'achar Memeila Chayil, similar to what we said before. Baal Ta'achar comes on its own. Already the evening, Baal Ta'achar already the clock starts or ends, as the case may be, regardless, even though you can't bring the actual korban until the next day after they bring the Tamid Shal Shachar, but the actual clock itself runs according to the Yom Tov. Again, the question is, Vare Yovel. So again, we ask again about Yovel, where on the face of it depends on the Tekiyas.
What do we ask again?
Because this is according to Rav Shishi Breda Rabini's answer, so we have to go it over again. Tosfos asks a different question, that Bechlal, according to everybody else, of course the Mishnah can't be listing Yovel. According to everybody else, the Yovel only begins Yom Kippur. The Mishnah is saying, Be'echad v'tishrei Rosh Hashanah l'yovelos. So necessarily it has to be according to Rav Shmuel, B'nai Shor, Rav Yechon, B'nai Shor. How could the Gemara even think otherwise? A couple of Mepharshim talk about it. One answer is that the same way as we said, according to Reb Shimon, that when we say Echad B'Nissan is Rosh Hashanah L'Regalim, and it means the later on in that month is the first Regal, Pesach, the same way the Mishnah could be saying Echad B'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'Yovel, meaning later that month begins the Yovel. So that's the answer. Rabbi Shmuel, B'Nosheh, 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 B'Nosheh. Our Mishnah is going according to Rabbi Shmuel, B'Nosheh, 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 who not only says it begins Rosh Hashanah, but he says it does not depend on the Tekiyah at all. Yovel starts automatically. It does not depend on Beis Din blowing the shofar or doing anything. One more answer. V'Rav Ashi Amar, Arba Rosh Hashanim Heim She'en Ba'Arba Rosh Chodashim. What the Mishnah means when it says Arba Rosh Chodashim and it left out the Omer and the Shtei Lechem means it's saying there are four Rosh Hashanim that all begin on Rosh Chodesh. We're not counting any other ones that are during the other that are on other days of the month, the 16th or the 6th or the 15th or whatever. So what would that mean? The Stam Mishnah is according to B'Shamay. B'Shamay is the one who says that Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon is the first of Shvat, according to B'Shamay, the 15th. The answer is Hachikama. What the Mishnah means to say is Shlosha L'divrei Hakol. There's three Rosh Hashanim that are on Rosh Chodesh according to everybody. The first of Shvat is Machloikos. Only according to B'Shamai are there four of them that come on Rosh Chodesh. According to B'Sivil, actually there will only be three that come on Rosh Chodesh, because the fifth one, the fourth one is on Tetzvav. There's a thing that I saw from the Vilna Gaon, and I've also seen it from the Bnei Yisachar, who says that's why the expression in the Mishnah, the Mishnah had used kind of an unusual expression. The Mishnah hadn't said, usually when the Mishnah brings a machlokes to Shammai B'Sivil, it's usually, this and this, Divrei Beit Shammai, B'Sivil says such and such. Here the Mishnah said, Kid Divrei Beit Shammai. Why the difference? Because when the Mishnah had started saying Abba Rosh Hashanim Heim, that can only be Kid Divrei Beit Shammai, according to Rabashi's answer. That can only be according to the words of Beit Shammai. According, if the Mishnah had been written, if the beginning of the Mishnah had been written according to the words of Beit Shammai, it would have had to start Shlosha Rosh Hashanim Heim, according to Rabashi's explanation. And that's why the Mishnah uses the word Kid Divrei Beit Shammai. Like the words of Beit Shammai, this that we're saying Abba Rosh Hashanim is Kid Divrei Beit Shammai.